Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joel. My mouth is on fire. I got one of those fireballs. You ever eat one of those little cinnamon fireballs? You know, we always have these little pieces of candy hanging around. We've got a jar of these fireballs. You know, these red hot fireballs. Have you ever eaten one? The cinnamon?
I don't think I have. Have we had this discussion before?
I don't know that we have. One of these.
Yeah, I think I just stay away from those. Yeah, that's probably the better choice, it sounds like.
I forgot how hot they are.
I mean, with a name like Fireball.
It's cinnamon, you know. I like the cinnamon taste, but it's burning the hell out of my mouth. And the thing is, I'm sitting here in the studio. I don't have anywhere to like put it while I'm doing this segment. So guess what? You have to listen to me try and talk with my mouth on fire with a fireball in it. What the hell? That thing, I'm going to tell you what. Here's the other thing. I can feel it like my throat feels like a chimney. If you know, like, because it's just blowing, you know, it's hot as hell going down my throat now. I mean, give me a break. People do this to themselves on purpose. And those probably are the mild ones. Like these people, I used to have friends, we'd go to, you know, different wing places. And you know how most wing places, I think a lot of us actually stopped doing this. But back in the day, most wing places had some sort of flavor that was called like volcano, right? Or super screaming hot, you know? In fact, there was a place in the South Side, I don't even know if it's still around, but it was called Fatheads. They used to have this wing flavor called Fatheads versus the Volcano, I think is what it was called. And you could only order like 5 or 6 of them. And you had to sign a waiver that said you didn't have heart conditions and stuff.
I was going to say, yeah, there's probably got to be some sort of signature involved.
Have you ever done that?
I have not.
People do that to themselves.
I could do like one insanely hot wing, whatever the highest flavor is, Carolina Reaper, one wing, and I've got to have all the water and milk and everything.
I couldn't.
One wing, but that's it.
I couldn't do that. Most mild wings are too hot for me. Most mild wings are too spicy for me. Right?
Really?
Yeah. In fact, one of the only mild wings I can take down without getting really sick is at Archie's. 80 cents Monday through Thursday, by the way. But no, at Archie's, I'll eat some. When I go there, I'll eat a few mild wings. But you know, I can't imagine how hot. Do you know anything about wings? What do they do? Just keep pounding hot sauce to make it hotter and hotter? Is that how they get the heat, or is there some kind of spice they put in it, or what?
My guess is it's got to be spices and stuff, you know, like just you find the hottest whatever spice and just mix X amount of it in with, you know, the sauce or whatever, and
anyway,
mix it into the sauce, and there you go.
I get it, but this thing is hot as hell in my mouth right now. It's burning the side of my mouth. Anyway, Pitt finished a really good season. A really good season. You know, they lost to Xavier. I actually thought Xavier just sort of put on a clinic. If you want to know what it looks like, what really good offense looks like, watch Xavier play. The ball never stopped moving. They moved the ball. They got good shots. They got the ball to the places they needed to get it to beat Pitt's defense. And when Jeff Capel switched to a matchup zone, took them one possession to adjust, and they chopped that thing up too. I mean, you know, there's no question about it that Sean Miller can coach his ass off. He's a great coach, no question. And then I would tell you, the thing I like the most is when I watched Xavier play as well, is that they didn't do a whole lot of that dribbling nonsense. There's very few things that bother me more when I watch basketball than watch these idiots try and do and-one commercials. You know what I mean? And, you know, they think we're all there to watch them dribble. We're not. If you're not dribbling with a purpose, you're wasting time. You should either be going forward with the ball, getting into the paint to do something with it, or you should basically be passing the ball. And that's what I liked about what Xavier did. The one thing I will say, however, was Pitt had a great season. You know, there's been a lot of seasons when Pitt lost in the NCAA tournament. And you felt like, boy, they didn't, you know, they left us short, right? You kind of felt like, wow, that season ended too quickly. You kind of felt like, wow, you know, they underachieved a little bit, or, you know, it's terrible that they got knocked out. But this was different, wasn't it? It kind of felt like they went as far as they probably could go. They lost to a better team. Xavier is better than Pitt right now. That's no slight on Pitt. It's just, that's reality. The other thing is, it's one of those situations where you kind of felt like we got everything you could possibly get out of this season. And then some. And then some. And so you can't really feel bad about it. Here you go, Joel. Wait, as an aside, you've probably seen this, but this affects your program. Micah Shrewsbury is negotiating with Notre Dame.
I wonder if he's just kind of like, it's free agency and he's testing the market.
Well, David Jones, you know who that is, right? He's covered Penn State for, I mean, I think he might have covered Joe Paterno's first game. David Jones says, I'm told that Micah Shrewsbury is now in talks with Notre Dame. Penn State already made its pitch. Whatever's going to happen, stay or go, will happen soon. There is also some talk that apparently Shrewsbury is going to have interest at Providence. Why would he do that? Nevertheless, back to Pitt. It was a season where, you know what? They took the step they needed to take to show that they're on their way back. But guess what? They hit lightning in a bottle. They've hit lightning in a bottle this year. And what happened then? They've got to do it again now next year. They've got to do it again now next year. And that's because you look at what they're losing, right? What are they losing? Pretty much their entire perimeter. They're losing Nike Sabande. They're losing Nelly Cummings. They're losing Greg Elliott. They're losing Jamarius Burton. That's four of their most important players. It's a lot of points, a lot of assists, a lot of steals, a lot of rebounds. They're losing a lot of really important players. And so to me, you know, when you look at it like that, it's going to be really important to remember that now he's got to go out and he's got to go get a few guards. I don't know that you can rely on, for instance, a guy like Dior Johnson, because you just don't know what's going to happen with him. So if you lose Dior Johnson, oh, that's right, they lost. Hoogley has already said he's gone too. If you lose Dior Johnson, you're basically next year dealing with, you know, Blake Hinson, the Twins, and Federico. That's it. Not that that's a bad place to start, but that core right there, unless you find three or four guards that can replace what you lost this year, I mean, you're probably going to struggle. And so now, you know, the hard work begins. The other thing is, you know, Jeff Capel was talking about how people fell in love with this team. And it's true. The city loved this team. The passion was there. It's just one of those things that the passion was there and everything else. But it's sort of like, you know, Pirates fans were starved for a winner, right? Starved for a winner. So in 2013 was, you know, the atmosphere and everything else. But it's one of those situations where next year, you know what? People aren't going to just be satisfied with winning a few games in the NCAA tournament, you know, against teams that probably you should beat. And going home. That's just not how it works. Coming up next, we got Noah Howes. He is from the Post-Gazette. He was in, I guess they were in Greensboro. He was in Dayton. He was in Greensboro before that. So we'll talk to him a lot about a lot of things. It's the Paul Zeiss Show on 93.7
FM. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is the Paul Zeiss Show. And, of course, we are, as always, having a good time. We're, you know, going to the Nemecol and Hotline to talk to our good friend. Noah House from the Post-Gazette, who was a world traveler the last few weeks with the Pitt basketball team. And, Noah, I just got done saying that this was, you know, people around here have had a lot of really disappointing ends to the NCAA tournament over the course of time with Pitt, but this one felt like this team probably got as far as it probably should have, and there's just kind of no way to feel bad about this season or the way that it ended.
No, I completely agree with that, Paul. I actually said that to Chris Carter, you know, our coworker at the Post-Gazette, after the game. I said, you know, this is pretty much where this team should have finished. I think it was somewhere between, you know, top 35 to top 20-ish in the country, based upon, you know, its resume in the regular season and just everything that I saw from covering it all season. It was a team that deserved to be in March Madness. It was a team that was capable of winning one or two games, depending on its path. And, it lost to a really good Xavier team who, if they played a seven-game series, Pitt might win one game, but, you know, the better team won that game. And there's nothing to be ashamed of if you're the Panthers, considering all this group achieved entering the season where there were no expectations at all.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's a really good way of putting it. There's no expectations at all. You know, if I felt like they didn't play well or that they, you know, just basically gagged on themselves like we've seen some Pitt teams do, or they lost in spectacular fashion, or they lost in, you know, to a team that they probably were inferior to, I think you would feel a little bit differently maybe. But, I mean, Xavier's better than them. I mean, Xavier just looked to me like they were better than them.
They were. And, I mean, this was a matchup problem for them too. This is a team that, you know, started playing some pretty bad defense in the month of March in the regular season or even in late February. And they were, you know, the benefactors of getting some really favorable matchups in their first two tournament games, going up against a pair of teams that aren't that great offensively. They don't shoot the ball well, and they played one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, the most efficient backcourt in the country, and a team that plays to a pace that's about 30,000 times faster than what Iowa State and Mississippi State play at. And having to make that many adjustments in, you know, what, one day to prepare for it, that's a tough task. And they're well coached. Iowa State, you know, didn't give them anywhere near the challenge. And, props to Xavier. Xavier's a team just watching it. I mean, it's the best team they've faced all season. I would not be shocked to be watching them play in Houston at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. The way that the Xavier moved the ball yesterday, the way that they just played offense was so efficient, so much fun to watch.
Right, and they do this without one of their starters too, who broke his foot in January. And I know he's their four guy. He's like a wing, a stretch four type player. But everyone, including the big guy down low, they all knew where the open man was, and they tried to do whatever they could to adjust to it. You know, you saw them switch the zone for a little bit. You saw them go with different combinations of five on the floor, sometimes no twins, sometimes both twins, whatever they could do, and nothing really worked. And They were just outmatched at the end of the day. And there's no shame in that, considering that, like I said, this group was picked to finish 14th in the ACC, and it ended up finishing in the top 32 in the country. That's pretty good, and they just lost to a really, really talented team.
Yeah, they did. And I think that's the biggest thing now. You look back on the season, to me, it was really just sort of fun to watch a group of guys commit every single night, just to sort of plan for each other and plan for the, you know, for their university and all that other stuff. That's hard to achieve when you've got a bunch of guys that are, you know, that come in that are transfers, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what always impressed me, where I wasn't shocked that Nellie Cummings was passionate about playing for Pitt, because he grew up in this area. This was a team that he rooted for and watched his whole life, really. But like guys like Greg Elliott and Blake Henson and even Fede Federico, who grew up in Finland, you know, why in the world would they all care as much about Pitt as a guy like Nellie Cummings? But they all do. They all really care about the program and each other, and they haven't been there for a long time. They had a team chemistry as if they had been playing together for 3-4 years. And most of these guys just met this summer. And that's crazy to think about. And it just, I think it's a testament of Jeff Capel's ability to find the right people in the transfer portal and also just as a coach and putting these guys in situations where they really do get to know each other and take a liking to each other. And it'll be interesting to see if that can happen again next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think that now in the off season, you know, he's going to have to go out and do it again, isn't he? I mean, they're going to have to find at least 2 or 3 transfers. The other thing is, now that, you know, Hughley said he's gone, that's one more player that you add to the list of the outgoing. You know, I've not heard much about D'Or Johnson. I personally will be shocked if he plays for Pitt next year, but you never know. He's going to have to go find at least, what, 2 or 3 guys, isn't he?
Yeah, assuming everyone returns, including Johnson, they're losing 5 seniors in Hughley, and they're bringing in 3 high school guys. So there are at least 3 open roster spots right now. Now, in today's world of college basketball, you have to assume you're going to get at least 1 or 2 more guys who will enter the transfer portal. Maybe someone like a Nate Santos or a Will Jeffress, who's getting a little older and maybe realize they're not going to be starting at Pitt anytime soon, and they might want to go to a mid-major where an opportunity might be better. And that's not anything I'm hearing. I'm just kind of speculating there. But regardless, they'll probably get a couple more transfer portal spots open, and they'll have, you know, 4 or 5 spots to be filled. And it'll be interesting, because you can do a lot of different things. They have talented guards coming in with Jalen Lowe and Carlton Carrington. Those are 2 4-star freshman guards, but you probably want a veteran guard, right? Do you want it to be a sharpshooter? Do you want it to be another point guard? And how do you build around the team if Guard comes back? Do you go get more size, or do you trust what you saw from the Twins in March and from Fetty in the back half of this season, that'll be enough down low? Or do you just kind of try to add depth all over the place? And are those depth guys going to be enough? And who's going to really sign up to kind of sit the bench behind a freshman and a couple of other guys who only started 1 year at a place like Pitt? I don't know. It'll be really interesting, though, because they can go in a lot of different routes.
Well, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the roster looks like, but at least for, you know, one season, they figured it out and got it right. And of course, a lot of people are happy with what went on. The ACC, on the other hand, a lot of people has basically said that you know, they were getting disrespected during the season, that they were better than they were getting credit for, and everything else. And, of course, here we are in the Sweet 16, and there's only one ACC team, and it ain't Duke or North Carolina. It's Miami that's still standing.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think we both kind of talked about how we thought that Miami was probably the team primed for the deepest run. But I can't say that I expected to only see one team remaining. By this time in the season, I thought that Duke had a deep run in it. I wouldn't have been shocked if Pitt was playing still, or Virginia. But maybe all that ACC quote unquote disrespect was warranted, Paul, just because it did not have a really good showing this March.
Well, that's true. I mean, if you think about it, Clemson actually even flamed out in the NIT real quick.
Yeah.
The one way that you prove everyone wrong is by going out and winning games, and the ACC clearly did not do that.
No, they didn't. And just looking at the ACC moving forward, I'm really, really interested to see how a lot of these teams go about their off seasons, where you have programs like Miami and Virginia and North Carolina who have had 2, 3, some even 4 starters who have been there for multiple years and who have been a part of successful, you know, tournament runs. How do they go about replacing these guys? Do blue bloods like North Carolina go and stay their traditional course of just recruiting out of high school and finding the top players in the country? Or do they try to emulate what other blue blood programs have done, like Kentucky, and use the portal a little bit more? And how does a team like Miami build off of this run now, where for the first time in program history, it's had back-to-back Sweet 16 runs? I think the future of the ACC is certainly going to be intriguing, and I think Pitt plays a big part in that as well.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about it. It's the ACC's got they're a little bit of a crossroads. Because if you think about it, you've got Sean Shire taking over at Duke. I mean, who knows what he's going to be? It seems like he did a pretty good job this year, but, you know, he's taking over for Coach K. I think there's still a lot of real serious legitimate questions about Hubert Davis and his ability. Obviously, Adrian Autry taking over at Syracuse is a new era there. Louisville, you know, is coming off maybe the worst season that I can remember, maybe in my lifetime. Right. I mean, Notre Dame is going to have a new coach. You go through the ACC and they've got to figure out pretty quickly how to get some of these programs back on track.
And if you're Pitt, you're sitting there thinking, hey, we have a decent opportunity to put ourselves at a better seat in the table. And I don't think that's out of the question when you consider, I mean, Pitt's returning its leading scorer. It's returning 3 big contributors down low. And if Johnson returns, which you don't think is going to happen, I don't know how to predict that at all. But if Dior Johnson comes back, that'll be 3 4-star guards coming in next year. So there's a lot to be excited for Pitt, just because it seems like the rest of the league is kind of trying to still adjust to this new modern era of basketball, where the Panthers – might have looked to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, there's no question. There's no question. I just saw something, speaking of the ACC, just saw something that said Shrewsbury's talking to Notre Dame. Boy, if you add him to the league, that would be, based on what we've seen from him at Penn State, that would be a little bit of a boost, wouldn't it?
I mean, that's what's Rothstein saying about him. He's got more plays than Broadway. Yeah, he's a great coach. I think that would be a great addition to the league, and you would expect Notre Dame to hire someone like that. You know, you would expect them to get one of the best, available guys on the market. There were 2 huge coach acquisitions in the Big East today. And with those guys off the board, no longer available, it's time for, someone like Notre Dame, whose season's been done for a while, to get in the mix as well. And if they can go get Shrewsbury, that would be a big boost for not only Notre Dame, but the ACC.
There's no question about it. Well, Noah, I know you have had quite the run. You get some downtime now. Hopefully you can relax and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, Paul, it's the 3rd day this month I've been in my apartment, which is nice. I've been in my pajamas since I got home at about 5 p.m., and I'm ready to catch up on a month's missed TV show.
That's good, buddy. Hey, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll do it again as we get through the off season.
Absolutely, Paul. Always glad to come on.
All right. That's Noah Howells. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, one thing that I have to laugh at, and this is probably going to come off as I'm negative guy, and I'm not. You know, Joel, when they say you're a negative guy, it usually means you're a realistic guy. Because nobody ever wants to deal outside the realm of fanboyism. Right?
Very right.
Heather Like has done a, you know, reasonably good job with the Pitt Athletic Department, but it's now reached a point where people are going way over the top to praise the job that she's done. She's the greatest athletic director in Pitt history, this and that and everything. She's done a spec. Joel, if I told you you had a budget of $3 million per year, and I told you that I have a budget of about $40 million per year, regardless of how much better at your job you are than I am, would you agree that I probably would get more done? If I had more than 10 times as much money to spend as you do.
Well, you know, maybe not.
Well, if I had more than 10 times as much money to spend as you do, right? Let's say you go looking for a basketball coach. Could you hire Jeff Capel, who was the associate head coach at Duke and had other offers?
Yeah, most definitely.
Could you hire him at
$3 million? Well, maybe not.
Exactly.
But if I'm in your shoes.
If I'm in my shoes, I can offer him whatever I want to offer him.
Yeah.
If Pat Narduzzi has Michigan State come calling, guess what? I can give him $5.5 million or $6 million. You can't. And the only reason I bring this up is because it's one of the biggest misconceptions about Pitt and the athletic department. One of the reasons that Heather is, quote unquote, the greatest athletic director in the history is because she's the athletic director that benefited from Pitt going to the ACC. When Pitt was in the Big East, their last few years in the Big East. Joel, do you know what the Big Ten disbursement is per team? Don't they get about $60 million, something like that? $50, $60 million, something like that per
probably
team?
Probably something like that. Right. Yeah. I can't remember.
The Big East, when Pitt was in the Big East, and people always wonder why they had to go to the ACC. The Big East, I think Pitt's last year, they got a check for $2.7 million from the Big East. That was all of their rights deals, their bowl money. You know, I mean, $2.73 million. They're getting about $35 to $40 million from the ACC. You think that would change how you could do your job? Back then, Dave Wannstedt fought tooth and nail with Steve Peterson to get carpets in the Southside facility because there were stains all over the coffee stains and stuff all over the carpets. So it was like, can we get new carpets here? When we bring recruits through here, it looks like it's a dive, right? Because at that point, it was like 10 years old. Fought tooth and nail. The joke was, when they'd bring recruits through, he'd have all of his grad assistants, you know, his ops people and grad assistants, they would stand over top of the spots on the carpet so the recruits couldn't see them. Now they're building, you know, facility after facility over there. Every year they're doing renovations over in the Southside facility.
20 times as much.
Think about it.
In the ACC.
Think about it. So when you have a coach, you know, you want to go get a coach and hire somebody, guess what happens? If you have a lot of money, you can hire a lot. There's a lot more guys that are on your radar. And you can get into a little bit of a bidding war with Duke to make sure that you get Jeff Capel. I mean, that's the reality. Here's the other reality. Correct me if I'm wrong, which I don't think I am. She didn't hire Pat Narduzzi. Well, I know she didn't hire Pat Narduzzi. Pat Gallagher hired Pat Narduzzi. The soccer coach, she didn't hire him either. I think it was Scott Barnes that hired him. The volleyball coach, it was Peterson that hired him. So, at the end of the day, she's done a good job, but can we please stop with the way over the top nonsensical screeds about how it's the greatest job that's ever been done by a Pitt athletic director? I don't count Scott Barnes because he was here. He actually, you know, the wheels landed on his plane when he came in from Utah State, right? He got off just enough time to have a cup of coffee, hire Kevin Stallings, and get back on the plane and go to Oregon State. You know, he'll forever be known as the guy that, you know, pushed Jamie out the door, even though Jamie wanted to be pushed out the door. Jamie wanted to leave. Which, as an aside, here's another one for you, Joel. Jamie Dixon has not been to the Sweet 16 for 14 seasons.
That's a long time.
Can you imagine that?
No.
Did you think that? Did you, like, you know, you probably, because the Sweet 16, if I said to you Final Four or something, it's there. But the Sweet 16, he has not been there. The last time he was at the Sweet 16 was the DeJuan Blair team. DeJuan Blair, the team that lost to Scotty Reynolds at Villanova. That was his last time, and that was in the Elite Eight. But that was his last time that he got past the first weekend. That's pretty incredible if you think about it.
All you got to do is just win two games, sometimes three. But
and you know what? You win two games. And, of course, the one year he was the number one seed, which you're supposed to win two games, but they lost to Butler, right? But I'm just saying, you know, now if you look through it, I mean, it's incredible, but that's the truth. 14 times. That's a long, long time. But my point with Heather Like is this. Could we stop? Please stop. The way, way over the top. You know, she's the greatest athletic director in the country, and she's doing better than anybody could ever imagine or any other. And it's not, you know, I'm a hater. You're a hater. You're just a hater. No, I think she's done a great job. I think she's really good at her job. So, no, I'm not a hater. But at the end of the day, I'm realistic. You know? I'm realistic. I watched athletic directors who couldn't hire coaches or couldn't get things done because they didn't have the money to do it. They were in the Big East. They weren't getting, you know, diddly squat, really, from the Big East. And now all of a sudden they go to the ACC and they've got, you know, trunks of money. While it's not the SEC or the Big Ten, it's 10, 15, 20 times more, right? What they're getting, you know, from... It was like 10, 15, 20 times more what they were getting in the Big East. I mean, one of the stories, you know, one of the things, like when Wonstedt got hired. Great example, Joel. Here's a great example. Wani got hired. Well, Wani interviewed when they pushed Walt out the door. Wani interviews for the job. He wants to bring in Matt Kavanaugh. And pay him $350,000. He wanted to bring him in, pay him $350,000 to be his offensive coordinator. No, we can't swing that, blah, blah, blah. We've got to buy out coaches. We got to do this, that, and everything, right? Yeah, okay, good. Dave wants that, says, I don't want to be your coach. Pulls his name out. They go through their process. They really come to the conclusion that they're probably the best answer for them is Dave wants that. They revisit Dave wants that. Oh, about a week later, and they say, how about this? We'll give you Matt Kavanaugh, and we'll give you the money to hire Matt Kavanaugh, but You have to keep Paul Rhodes on because he's got a 2-year contract. You've got to keep him on as your defensive coordinator for 2 years because we don't want to have to buy him out. Now, here's the thing. They had to operate like that back then. Whereas nowadays, all right, everybody's gone. You're in, right? That's the way it goes. You can get a lot more done when you got money. Believe me, I've talked to enough coaches. I've talked to enough administrators. I've talked to enough people, all over the place that, A, will tell you, you can say whatever you want to say about great coaches and, you know, the coaching is important and this and that and everything, but really, you know, the most important thing is money, resources, money. And so at the end of the day, it really is important. It really is important to remember that. Yes, she's done a great job. Yes. And yes, you know, she's really smart. She represents Pitt well. There's a lot that you really like about it. And that's what it comes down to. That's why, you know, one of the reasons why anybody that's still, and there's still a few people out there that say these things. Pitt should have never went to the ACC. If you're saying that, you're just dumb. You're dumb. You're dumb. You have no idea what you're talking about. Pitt had to go to the ACC. Pitt said it went to the Big Ten. The Big Ten didn't want Pitt, period. Pitt had to go to the ACC. If they didn't go to the ACC, do you know what they would be? They would be in that conference, what, that American conference. They would be Connecticut. Connecticut football. Only they would be Connecticut football without Connecticut's basketball. Because Pitt's in the ACC has money, and their basketball isn't as good as Connecticut's on the men's and the women's side. Could you imagine if Pitt was in that conference with, who is it, the American there that you know, was sort of like the old Big East teams. It was the American Conference. So it's like Tulsa, right? It's Tulsa in that league. Houston, right? Houston, Tulsa.
Cincinnati in here.
Cincinnati.
Tulane. Temple.
Right.
Temple.
Temple Owls, baby. I'm just saying.
Pitt would be like the best team in this.
Right,
this
but remember that those teams are getting probably a check for about $3 or $4 million from their American Conference. Let's say they're getting $8 million from the American Conference. Pitt wouldn't be the same. And if Pitt was in that conference, they probably wouldn't have Narduzzi. They definitely wouldn't have Jeff Capel, right? And they probably, the volleyball guy would have went and got another job somewhere else. I mean, one of the reasons that the volleyball guy, they're able to keep him is because they can pay him. And they're willing to pay him. Whereas in the old days, they didn't. They couldn't. So they nickel and dimed everything. Makes a huge difference.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,